The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as cash advance, the G-Bank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. G-Bank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/vsin. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Hour number two, standing by, Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke. He wants to talk about this Matthew Stafford disconnect with the young players, which apparently came from Kelly Stafford, right, Kelly? Kelly Stafford saying it.
Yeah.
And then Sean McVay downplaying it by saying, oh, she's just joking.
On her podcast the morning after with Kelly Stafford. Come on, you knew that.
Oh, Kelly Stafford has a podcast?
Yeah, come on. Of course.
Wow.
You don't listen to that every week?
Subscribe and rate.
5 stars and thumbs up.
Oh, you know who we're also getting a visit from apparently this hour? David Chow.
All right.
What do we call David? I mean, I don't think he'd like to be called Twitter doctor, but he kind of is.
Pro football doc, the guy you see diagnosing stuff on Twitter all the time, yes.
We'll ask him about Joe Burrow. We'll ask him about Terry McLaurin's toe. Other things. I'd like to ask him a hard question, too. I know it's very nice of him to come down here to the South Point, but, you know, it's about biting journalism here on a day when technology is no longer with us. It's just about good, hardcore journalism.
That's right. That's what me and you are all about. Yeah.
That's when people think of you and me, it's exactly what they think
hardcore
about.
Journalism.
Those guys ask the biting questions. We'll ask some biting questions of Mike Pritchard, who joins us right now. He played the game. VSiN host Mike Pritchard. You can follow him on Twitter at MIPritchard. First round draft pick, college football champion. How you doing, Pritch? What's happening?
I'm great, Gil. How y'all doing?
Doing very well. Let me just ask you about your alma mater, Colorado, real quick. Colorado's taking on TCU.
Yes,
it's 20.5. That's the point spread. Mike, Mike, it's just me and you talking. There's nobody listening. You don't have to protect the shield of Colorado or your buddy Deion Sanders here. Shouldn't we lay the 20.5 here? Come on.
Ooh, I mean, so many great unknowns first game of the year, Gil. It's not like TCU has a history of consistency of going to the playoffs, right? I mean, I think last year it might have been an outlier situation for TCU. And then conversely, you know, honestly, I'll say that about Colorado. Yeah, Colorado has not been relevant for decades. So all of a sudden we're relevant because of one man, you know, Coach Prime. And, you know, he's done a fantastic job. I don't know what the expectations should be. I know what mine are. Mine are bowl game, right? Mine are him and the bus going over their win total. But as far as this game, I had my largest bet of the football season first half CU last year. And CU was going to be god-awful. We all knew that. But it was like a new coaching situation for TCU. The quarterback situation was up in the air. It wasn't settled until later on in the year. And so I took the first half. I took the points with the bus at home first half and was able to cash a large ticket.
Talking to Mike Pritchard, our senior NFL analyst. We stray into college football right there because that's about his alma mater, Colorado. Let me ask you about the National Football League. And as a guy who, I'm going to lean on your sort of the Malcolm Gladwell blink sort of knowledge that you have that the rest of us might not. But as you sort of scan the 32 teams and you assess where everyone is, you know, from the Cardinals tanking to the Jonathan Taylor situation in Indianapolis on down the line, what are the franchises to you that feel the most dysfunctional and the most aimless and hopeless perhaps this NFL season?
The usual suspects. You mentioned the Cardinals already. The usual suspects, because they don't know how to get it right. They don't know what they're doing a lot of times, right? And sometimes you can have regime change and all of a sudden things can happen and go in a positive way. I think looking at Carolina, not dysfunctional, but it just doesn't mesh. Like, you had Wilkes take over a team. He's now the defense coordinator out there in San Francisco. But he took over a team that was dysfunctional from the quarterback situation, from the management and all of that, right? But yet they started to overachieve. They ended up the year 7-10 last year. Now you have Frank Reich, who's, you know, this analytical guy. But if you look at the roster, I mean, there's a lot of those same guys who overachieved because of Wilkes, the head coach. And I don't know if Frank Reich can relate to that. I don't know if he has the guys that he wants. And certainly from a talent standpoint, there's a void there. So it's not dysfunctional, but it's the usual suspects. I mean, I think the Rams, they're a team in which, you know, it doesn't seem like they're that deep. Matthew Stafford, this has to be his last year. And if he's just playing for stats and to solidify his Hall of Fame career, then take that for what it is right there, right? Outside of that, I mean, you know, the usual suspects in terms of Arizona, I think Jacksonville corrected the ship. Houston, I think they're going to be better, more competitive, but from a record standpoint, I don't see much improvement.
Let me ask you that as a sort of cousin of that question, because people can bet on first coach fired, which is not, you know, the nicest thing to bet on when it comes to just being a decent human, but we're all capitalists here trying to make money. Who do you think has the shortest leash? You know, Ron Rivera's got new ownership. Eberflus, I believe, you know, has they better start strong, or they're going to blame him for Justin Field. Not, you know, if Justin Field's season doesn't start out well, he could get a lot of blame real quick. Who's the guy that you look around and you're like, oh, if this goes badly, I could see them pulling the cord the quickest on this guy?
You know, I'll go outside the box a little bit, Gil, because I think when expectations are so high, is a coach going to be able to meet those expectations? I think when you have a Deshaun Watson paying him what he's supposed to be paid, and if there's not market improvement there, I think Stefanski could be in a hot seat situation. Ooh. During the course of the year. You look at Dallas, right? What's the expectation in Big D? It has to be Super Bowl.
Has to be.
I mean, I'm not saying, yeah, and, you know, they're trading for Trey Lance, but that's exploratory. That's you know, kicking the tires kind of thing, right? But there's pressure on Dak Prescott. There's immense pressure on that. There's immense pressure on McCarthy. So if they're not living up to expectations, say they get a slow start or halfway through the year they're not in the playoff picture in a wide open NFC, then I can see some movement there because, you know, Jerry has a stated goal of getting back to the Super Bowl. So to me, it's all about lofty expectations and our coaches coming close to those. You know, if it's dysfunctional, like we mentioned, Arizona, I could see them jettison their first-year head coach. I could see that. You know, if we look at Tampa and Bulls, and, you know, it's more of the same there, I could see that. But outside of that, I think it's more about lofty expectations and can those coaches kind of come close to those.
This has less to do with sports betting, but since you bring up Trey Lance, I was just talking to a bunch of my Bay Area buddies yesterday. They're all convinced Trey Lance got a raw deal. Do you agree with that?
I do, because I don't think the 49ers had a plan for Trey Lance. And here's what I mean by that. I mean, we drafted Brett Favre. You know, everybody knows this. Atlanta didn't have a plan for Brett Favre. They used it for tools and assets, and they traded for, you know, I think they traded him for a first-round pick, even though they drafted him in the second round. And that's supposed to be great. That's a feather in the cap for a GM to be able to do that, right? But that GM got fired because the team wasn't any good. And you kind of missed on being on the same page with the head coach. And so I know John Lynch and Kyle, they certainly are on the same page. But I don't know if Trey was their plan because as they reverted back to the old system, once Trey got hurt, Jimmy G and all of a sudden Brock Purdy, you know, this is the type of system that Kyle wants to call, and certainly I think there was going to be a work in progress with Trey. So, yeah, I think he got a raw deal, and that's the thing about college athletes. You know, you don't get to choose where you go in the National Football League. They draft you, and it's coming upon the team to be able to make it work. They got to get it right, and that's certainly on the organization for not getting it right with Lance.
Last thing here. We just got word that Randall Cobb is going to be the Jets' third wideout, beating out Mecole Hardman for that number three wideout position. Aaron Rodgers' influence on depth chart and acquisitions to begin with. a good thing in the end, a bad thing, or just a necessary thing? It just is what it is. Has to be that way.
No. Yeah, it has to be. I mean, he's going to call his plays. He's going to want what he wants out there on the field. You know, I simplify things when it comes to betting, Gil. And if bettors could do that, I think it'll help them out because there's so much information out there, right? You know, and we look at three wide receivers. We do, and we like that. We like the quarterbacks. But who can run the ball and utilize play action? Because that's what the game is evolving to. And then defensively, who can stop the run, getting into those obvious passing situations and get after the quarterback? If you can identify those type of teams are the ones that will make it easier on your pocketbook and, you know, according to the lines, obviously. But I think you can exploit just those two simple concepts. But, no, Aaron Rodgers is going to lead that ship, and I think he's going to lead it pretty far, to be honest with you.
All right, I lied. 30 seconds. Most surprising team that will make the NFC playoffs, surprising based on general consensus, will be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh, man. No surprising team. I'll give you two. The Washington Commanders, you'll like that.
I do.
I know you'll like that.
I do.
I'm not trying to be Kirk Cousins. And my goodness. Ah, boy. Ah, Chicago. Ooh. Chicago could make a run for it, too.
Okay. Pritch, please, on Chicago. I just want to get one of those in there. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, Gil. Y'all take care.
You too. Mike Pritchard, everybody. Senior NFL analyst right here at VSiN. You can follow him on Twitter at M.I. Pritchard. Kelly, what do you say we come back and talk NFL exactas in the Super Bowl?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. It's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip, the majestic South Point Hotel. What's your favorite part about the South Point, Kelly?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Because there's a long list, and I'm not trying to be cheesy, but like I think just the cleanliness factor of local casinos, and not even compared to downtown, some places on the strip that you would expect to be nicer that aren't. Like, the South Point's, oh, it's always nice, clean. It's not, you know, you don't got too much ruckus or dirty people around here making a mess, you know?
What a lovely extemporaneous answer that was.
Yeah.
Well done.
I mean, look, the hot dog cart's great. They're famous for that. I live right around the corner. If I need to go see a movie at any point, there's a movie theater here.
Movie upstairs right you know, above us?
I mean, great bowling alley. I wish I was more into bowling. I've only got up there like twice, but it's a great bowling alley.
Isn't it amazing 6.5 years, like a bowling ball hasn't cracked through this roof onto it?
Remember we used to have the hanging camera?
Yes, they did.
It would swing back
would
and
swing.
Forth. We were trying to figure out forever what that was. I'll never forget Triv being like, yeah, it's that bowling upstairs.
Hey, Crack will be on the show tomorrow. Crack invited me to dinner tonight. Guess what time dinner is? Take a wild guess.
9 p.m.
4:30.
With the other side of it.
I think we're getting filmed or something. Like 4:30. That's very interesting. Early. It's the oily bird.
That's fantastic.
All right. So many things to bet on. DraftKings has exact results now. We've done matchups in the Super Bowl before on this show, but we haven't done exactas.
So this is at least not recently. Yeah.
At least not recently. That's right. What we probably did in
late May, yeah.
Before we talk March Madness today, let's talk NFL exactas, that kind of thing, back in March. All right, so the short shot in all of this, there's going to be no surprises here. The Chiefs to beat the Eagles, you can get that at 28-1. The Eagles to beat the Chiefs, you can get it 30-1. Then it's Chiefs to beat Niners, Bills to beat Eagles, Bengals to beat Eagles, Eagles to beat Bengals. You get the idea. It all revolves around Chiefs, Eagles, Niners, Bills, Bengals, and then after that, you get the Bills of the world. So those are, you know, generally considered. There's a nice little graphic. Hey, we have a graphic. How about that? Bills beat Niners at 60-1, for instance. So the Cowboys sneak in there with the Chiefs to beat the Cowboys. How about that at 50-1? I didn't see that one. That one got past me. If you were to bet this, first of all, let me just ask that general question. We are not in a DraftKings jurisdiction. If we were, we wouldn't be allowed to. If you were to have this market available to you, and maybe some
we
book
do.
Here
we have
does.
A couple shops.
Yeah, some books do. Have you made a bet in this market?
I've made multiple.
Oh.
I've made multiple.
Kelly Bidlin has made multiple.
And Gil, my thought process on this year, and it's a little bit how you brought up the AFC, NFC yes, no's, and maybe we'll get to those tomorrow a little bit. But for me, there is an extremely limited amount of teams in the NFC that I really believe could represent the conference in the NFL. Therefore, I think it represents value to be keying in on a couple of those teams. And Cowboys and Eagles, I'm higher on than Niners. I will say that. I think all three of those teams you could absolutely make a case for. But the way I went about this was using the Eagles and Cowboys and kind of keying in several around those teams. So I played, and look, the way I did it was with AFC teams that aren't the Chiefs. I did do one with the Bengals, right? Yep. But some of those AFC teams that we know the AFC is loaded, who do we think could possibly make a deep run, right? So where I can get a big number on something that where I think I have a likely NFC team, and if something plays out a little bit wild in the AFC, I've got a monster number on it, right? So I did play Eagles over the Bengals, which isn't that exciting, but I found it 52-1 here in town. And then I played an Eagles over the Chargers at 120-1. Yeah, that's right. I played Cowboys over the Bengals at 90.
Stop it.
Cowboys over the Ravens at 200.
When did your Cowboys love begin? When did that romance start?
I mean, I like this team. I like this team. And this year, I think they've got a really good team coming back, both offensively and defensively. And I don't really think – I think the Philadelphia Eagles are the only ones I've got in front of them in the NFC.
Who's the coach of the Cowboys?
Mike McCarthy.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
It's funny. Like, you talk, of all the teams we haven't mentioned, who is the shortest shot in any combination beyond the usual suspects of all those teams at the top tier? It's – the Chiefs over Detroit at 70-1 at DraftKings.
Yeah.
If I were betting this, and I have not, full disclosure, I have not made a bet, but I went to Bengals to beat the Niners at 65-1 as the one I would play.
So,
Bengals to beat the Niners at 65-1.
I like that, but don't you agree there are a limited amount of NFC teams that you could see making a run to the Super Bowl?
For sure. I mean, that's the thing. It's... You know, you threw in the Cowboys, but most people feel it's Eagles, Niners in whatever order, and the Cowboys would be the big three. And there is the consensus is there, and the market reads this, right, that there's a massive drop-off after that. So the notion of this being the year that Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, or the upstart Lions, or the Seahawks behind Geno Smith, the notion that they would get through a playoff gauntlet, some of them on the road, to get to the Super Bowl is, we can't see it. We really can't.
I can't see it. And that's just where I think this market, I have more bets in this market than I think any season I've had before, with even just the five I read off.
What a spectacular bet this would have to be live during the postseason.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
This would be so great to have this.
And yes, I think it's a little bit. In most years, when we talk about this, you're getting more balanced conferences, right? So this is, I think it is tougher. I think there is more value that you can extract from this market this year, as long as you're not looking right at the top of the board, right? As long as you're not looking Eagles, Chiefs, which that would be the same every single year. I think you could find some great value here focused around some NFC teams if you go a little further down.
First appearance of the Jets is Eagles to beat Jets at 80-1. This is at DraftKings. First appearance of the Dolphins to beat Eagles 80-1.
So, but like, those are great examples, right? If you're high on any of those AFC teams,
sure.
I think there's some great value.
Okay, but I think everybody gets that. You know, I think it's consensus that the NFC is very top heavy with those two or three teams. The AFC is has a little more breath when it comes to teams that are good. But ultimately, same question, if we talk about the AFC, beyond the Chiefs, beyond the Bengals, do you really believe in the Chargers or the Ravens or anyone else? The Bills, obviously, I'm leaving out the Bills. So let's say Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, same thing. We want a big three in each conference. Do you feel the same way about all the other teams in the AFC as you do all the other teams in the NFC? Maybe not, but isn't it closer than you're making it out to be?
I don't know. I don't know that I feel that way. I do think
that you think this is the Brandon Staley Chargers year.
I'm just more. It's more about also how the playoffs are set up, right?
Sure.
You get these teams in there.
Right.
It takes one game, right? It takes one game, one injury, whatever, and you're all of a sudden in position.
I'll definitely give you the more AFC teams because if Justin Herbert just went crazy, you know, for Browns fans, if Deshaun Watson became that guy again. There's definitely a path.
I mean, if Lamar Jackson bursts out and this offense clicks like everybody's talking about, it might.
The Ravens are always live.
Yeah.
They have a packed backfield. They play football the right way.
I like the Dolphins. I'll be honest, I have no idea what to expect from the Jets this year. Like, I think that defense is going to be good, and yeah. I don't know what this offense is really going to look like.
No, I was trying to talk myself into that I could still only see those three teams, Bengals, Chiefs, and Bills in the Super Bowl, but I guess I don't see it that way. I guess I really could. Like, if you told me at the end, yeah, this was finally the year the Chargers caught fire. Well, I mean, they got he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, mm-hmm. for sure. Now, if you told me it was someone else, right? If you told me it was Denver or even Miami, I would be like, even Cleveland to some extent, I'd be like, I don't really see it happening. Cleveland, who's never made the Super Bowl.
201 for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. 201 for a reason.
But I'll give you the Chargers and Ravens as sort of the next batch after the big three there. Anyway, I think these are good bets. I think I will probably have one before the season starts. I don't think I'll go that far down, though, because if I could have a... What was it again? Bengals-Niners combinations? What did I
say?
Sure,
yeah. Bengals-Niners.
I'll happily live with that.
Like, that's a good one. Yeah, like, another one. Like, I didn't use this AFC team, but Drew brought him up the other day, maybe last week, I think he brought up this bet, of looking at Jaguars to get the one seed.
Oh,
right?
So that's an interesting wild card, too, right? Because they, because of schedule and division, specifically,
yeah,
there is a scenario. I know this sounds crazy to people, but having the best record in the AFC is in play to some degree.
Right. So even that, like, I know what you're talking about with how tough the Bengals Chiefs are, but if something plays out like that, you're talking about neither one of those teams having home field advantage throughout the playoffs. It becomes a much tougher test, at least in my opinion, for the Bengals Chiefs this postseason.
I'm scrolling down for the first appearance of the Jaguars in an exacta, and I'm still scrolling. There
right,
it is.
Yeah.
Eagles to beat Jags 90-1. Jags to beat Eagles also 90-1.
Yeah, see, like, if I don't hate that bet.
Yeah,
I am very high of the Jags.
What are the books in town that have them?
Circa has them and Caesars has them. I believe those.
So if
two.
I want to put it on my Caesars app before the end of the day, I should log in now. Is what you're telling me?
They've had major problems. This is the worst. 24 hours.
This not even 24 hours, Kelly. This is the worst app I've ever dealt with in my life. Like, it's hard enough getting in, and it's a glitch fest when you do. Oh, I have so many complaints.
Yeah, it needs some
lodge. What's that? And what?
It needs some work.
Yes, it needs some work. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We'll talk to him next, what he's betting. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The updated NFL betting guide will be released tomorrow, Thursday. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide will have nothing short of all of this. Picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19. It's nothing. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign with today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Fezzik was listening to our NFL Exacta segment, and he texted me. He goes, Bengals, 0-2 versus the 49ers in Super Bowl history. I was like, I'll be sure to use that trend on the show. Sorry, my mistake. He goes, it's a perfect trend. What are you talking about?
That's good.
By the way, Fezzik joined me and Wishnet the other day betting baseball. Fezzik sat next to me. At one point, he threw in. He goes, hey, what's the name of that sushi restaurant? I was like, nice try.
That's good.
Good try. You know the only person.
Steve Seven Stars Fezzik. Can't even get it out of you, man.
I can't get that one. You know who I would give the sushi restaurant to? This guy, because this guy actually gave me one in the Valley in LA that is maybe the greatest thing I've ever had. Also, in as the weathermen in LA call it, the Southland. It's Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Good morning. How's it going? Just got back from New York last night. I'm pretty excited to get back to all the betting.
Getting back to all the betting. What was the biggest betting letdown that you had there where you were like, oh, wait, I can't bet this here?
Player futures. Not so much that I couldn't bet them, it's that I couldn't even see them, you know, from my FanDuel account or DraftKings or whatever. I just like to be able to see them, and all of a sudden I couldn't even keep track for a week. I guess I could have logged out and logged in via Colorado or whatever.
But oh, you can't even view them. Interesting.
Yeah, it's just annoying because, like, at this point I just like to look, especially FanDuel, because they're a lot more active in their movement. You know, like someone hits a home run,
Kelly,
they'll move it.
Kelly has the expression of someone who doubts your viewpoint on this. You don't think that's true?
No, it's not that at all. Of course, I believe him. I just don't understand how it works state to state like that.
Yeah, every it's wild. So different from every jurisdiction to the next.
And that would drive me nuts too if I could look up odds.
Oh yeah, for sure. Even the ones here. Yeah, very annoying. Jason, you tweeted something out yesterday, and you were telling me this got about the most engagement you've ever gotten on anything, which is the Kelly Stafford story about how Matt Stafford doesn't really vibe, that's my word, with the younger players on the team. What was it about this that fascinated you so much?
It wasn't even something profound or anything, you know. I was just making a comment that Brett Favre said the exact same thing at the end of his career. You know, you become a 35-year-old, 38-year-old in the NFL. You're around 22-year-olds, 24-year-olds. Like, you have nothing in common with them at that point in your life, especially when you're making the money you're making as a professional quarterback. You just, it's like a matter of fact, you don't have anything in common with a 22-year-old who's just got out of school and trying to make an NFL roster. So the longer you stick around, it's harder to relate to your teammates. You know, Favre wasn't the only one who said that. Tom Brady said the same thing. Pretty much any veteran quarterback who sticks around will have, you know, similar stories. But, like, look at Aaron Rodgers. That's why they went out and signed Randall Cobb and, you know, a couple other guys that he wanted. You always sign your quarterback boys because he needs somebody to golf with and, you know, bounce stuff off. It's not like he's going to go ask your, you know, 22-year-old receiver you just drafted, hey, what do you think about this? How's you know, like...
Do you think that could ever seep into your handicap on anything?
I mean... A little bit, in the sense that, like, a situation with the Rams, kind of wonder, like, at this point, Stafford's on the record saying, like, I have a hard time relating to my teammates, you know. Well, why are you still there? It's obviously because he has a huge contract and he wants to keep getting paid. You know, he's won a Super Bowl. He doesn't have anything left to prove, essentially, at this point. And body's beat up, but he wants to keep getting those paychecks. I don't blame him, you know. There's no other way to make that much money when you're at that stage in your career, so you play it out. But, yeah, I mean, I do kind of worry, you know, like the Rams, it's not a secret, though. You know, the Rams are going to be bad this year. They pulled out to win the Super Bowl, and now they kind of got to deal with the repercussions. So, you know, you just kind of look. I think Rodgers is obviously another situation, but there's such a microscope on him. I think, you know, he's going to handle it slightly better, at least to start this season.
Did you make any season-long NFL bets, Jason?
I've done a couple. I did not do a lot of season win totals or anything. I know betting against Arizona has been popular. If it's at 3.5, I'm actually inclined to bet the over. You know, they might be the worst team in the NFL, but they almost stumble into 3-4 wins in the course of a season, even with a, you know, a below-average quarterback. But I did. I played a couple player touchdown, you know, season-long props. George Pickens. Everyone loves George Pickens. His over-under is like 5.5, like incredibly low for who's essentially a number one receiver who has a good, you know, relationship with his quarterback. I bet all the Pickens props. I bet over yards, over receptions, over touchdowns to win Offensive Player of the Year at like 100-1. I don't think he's going to win Offensive Player of the Year, but he's just super talented. This was all before the Justin Jefferson comparison stuff happened too. And then Christian Watson, same thing. His over under for touchdown receptions in Green Bay is like 5.5, 4.5. You know, he's a number one receiver too. I think Jordan Love's gonna throw the ball a lot. Someone's gonna have to catch it. Those are just some low numbers for season long touchdown props for number one receivers, I thought.
Full day of Major League Baseball today. What did you land on?
Man, I think, you know, yesterday I bet the Phillies after the news broke because I thought they'd hold out, you know, Grichuk and Renfro and whatever. Like, no way you're going to play guys you're about to trade.
It was so weird, yeah.
And then they did. But I also kind of figured, well, there's absolutely no way they're going to use their bullpen arms. And they have three guys in their bullpen that they put on waivers. And because of the way the waivers work and everything, you can't call up guys to replace them until they're gone. So today, being the second day in a row, I mean, I haven't seen anybody who's not on the Phillies. Phillies minus 1.5, Phillies F5. You know, everything I've seen for the last 12 hours or so is somebody on the Phillies one way or the other. So I'm back on the Phillies again today. I don't see kind of how you don't bet against the Angels at this point. You know, like, it's kind of getting into that what you call the brain dead season of, you know.
That's my term.
Basketball.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, yesterday I bet against the Mets. I bet against the Marlins, which, by the way, we're still just barely on life support for that win total. And not really, but I mean, they've not gone over yet. But yeah, it's really getting into that brain dead season where you just kind of take the obvious teams and fade the teams that are quitting. And it does seem like we're getting some more teams tapping out as the weeks go on here.
For sure. I led the show with it. We've been doing it for years at this time of year in baseball. It really is, like, I know the too cool for school crowd, as I said, they don't like hearing it, but it really is some of the just sounder baseball bets that you can make. What about, we also started about that Angel story. What about Giolito and Lopez or any of the guys who got put on waivers? Again, almost 20% of the team gets put on waivers. Is there something on the margins that might, you know, make that might trigger a bet for you? Like if Giolito ended up with Cincinnati, let's say, like, would that move the needle for you at all? Is there any combination, any pairing that would?
No, not really. I mean, he can help, but he was supposed to help the Angels, and he came in and has a 6 ERA in 32 innings. So expecting him to just go to a third team now this season and all of a sudden play better is not necessarily the most realistic thing. And that's also assuming that a non-playoff team doesn't claim him and try to extend him for next season. So there's a whole lot of moving parts with the waivers and stuff. But, like, we are at the point of the season where I don't see myself betting on the Angels
ever
the rest of the season.
Ever.
You know, yeah. I'll be betting against them, but I have a hard time believing that you're going to give me a price good enough and a reason good enough to bet on the Angels the rest of the season, even though we know they're going to win some more games. Same thing with the Mets. White Sox kind of getting into that territory now, too. You know, starting to see more and more teams.
Yeah. And if the White Sox take, like I was saying to Will earlier, when they take a 1-0 lead on the Orioles or whatever it is, right? It's like an auto bet on the Orioles. Like, are you doing that as well?
Yeah, I was on the plane last night, so I was doing some live betting because I was just trying to keep myself occupied. But you see you see that sort of stuff happen. You always want to take a little piece of the better team. The problem is, it's like I was watching the game or I was following the game on my phone, and the White Sox were up 1-0 yesterday. But the Orioles were still like minus 139. So a lot of these times you're not even really getting a good deal. Like, you know, even the live model says, yeah, we know the other team's going to come back and win. And I don't blame them. I mean,
I still bet the minus 135 yesterday. I did. Real quick, because we had 10 seconds, is there anything random or rest of the global sports world that you bet on this weekend?
Surprisingly, no. I've been good this week. I'm off for football, getting ready for all the NFL stuff.
We'll check back in. We'll check back in Friday with Jason. Maybe we'll have something there. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Sounds good. Talk to you Friday.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. Dr. David Chow in studio next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way, too many to count, that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I didn't read any tweets today, Kelly. Always appreciate the feedback. 3Jack, H3131, quote of the day, if you suck, you suck. I believe I said that earlier. I'm going to work that info into all my work conversations today. Thanks, Gil. He says, hashtag Ghost Strider. Yes, Ghost Strider. And Strider, I guess, is going up against the Dodgers tomorrow night. He didn't. They moved him back from the Colorado series. Elvis Toast Patterson fan. Gil, did I hear my radio right? Do you predict big things for Will Hill in the future? Wonder what? Cough, cough. I do predict big things for him. Chance Copperpot, did Gil drop General Suckitude in reference to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? He gives me the definition of that. Trust the glove. You know it's going to be a bad day when Gil and Kelly are in your waiting room. Huh? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that one either.
I
didn't get that one
I love you, Trust the Glove. You got to explain that one to me. Let's see. Edward Lefevre, Gil, are you going to please explain on Friday what's going on? I love when you guys are at the South Point. Yeah, we're going to have Chrissy and Vinny in here, and we'll just talk about it being the last day here at the South Point. So we look forward to that. Always a pleasure here at the South Point to have folks roll on in to our studios. Today, no exception. You may know this gentleman from Twitter primarily for assessing the injuries of players on the Twitter machine, injuries that are taking place in real time, ex-NFL head team doc for 17 years, and the live injury analyst at Sports Injury Central, the T-shirt of which he is wearing right now. It's David Chow. How you doing?
Good, yeah.
At Pro Football Doc, I should mention, on Twitter.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gil.
Thanks for coming down here. I appreciate it. Can I ask you a harder, more uncomfortable question to start before we get into the Joe Burrows and the Terry McLaurins of the world?
Curveball, I like it.
Well, no, I'm just trying to anticipate what people would want to ask of you.
Sure.
And one of them, it strikes me that if I didn't ask this, I wouldn't be doing my job, which is, what is the medical veracity of sort of remote diagnosis, right? Like, I'm sure in medical school, they would tell you, yeah, it's probably not the best way to diagnose. You're comfortable with this, though.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, as we spoke about, it's about being authentic. And I make no secret that I'm not looking at x-rays or an MRI, that I'm not in the room and not treating the patient or the player. And if I were, and there are times that I actually know what happens or had treated a guy before, then I can't talk about it because of HIPAA. So the one correction I would make is that I'm not diagnosing anyone. Technically, diagnosing means you've examined and you've done something and you're telling the patient or the player what is going on. I'm not doing that. I'm looking at things from afar. And so what I call what I do is sharing insider knowledge, not insider information.
Okay.
Big difference.
Okay.
And we're the only site that truly does injury analysis. Everyone else does injury reporting. And I'm sure you'll ask me some questions later on. But I do it from video because for 17 years, I, you know, as the San Diego Chargers head team physician, I saw players on the field, on the sideline, in the locker room, the next day after an MRI. Yeah. I knew exactly what it was. And I had about half an hour to kill on Mondays before meeting with the GM. Everyone in the building looked at film. So I decided maybe I should look at film. Why? I don't know. Everyone looked at film. And so I started doing that, and the video guys were nice enough to pull the end zone sideline coaches tape and the TV copy, and I'd look at it. Back then, it was on a DVD they'd hand me. And I already knew the answer to the question, but the video of a traumatic injury is the question. So now I'm reverse engineering. I don't know the answer to the question, but I have the question. But I study video for 17 years. And we've showed over time, we've actually stopped keeping the data because it just gets laborious, that we're 95% accurate.
I was going to ask you how accurate. 95?
Not 100%.
19 of 20 is pretty good, though.
Yeah, and it's not exact. Like, I'm sure you're going to ask about Joe Burrow, right? I'm not saying I can tell exactly what grade, but we said calf sprain before Zach Taylor said it. I mean, they were still on the practice field when he was carted off. Now, we think it's a higher grade strain than what Zach Taylor has said, being mild.
Okay.
So, but we can't. I'm not looking at an MRI, and we make no pretenses about
that. Well, a couple of things. One, let's just make clear. You were not the San Diego Chargers or LA Chargers doctor when Tyrod Taylor's lung was punctured. That was not you that gave birth to Joe Burrow's career.
Justin's agent, and I joked with his agent, David Dunn, that when you signed that deal, did you give that doctor a tip? Because that launched his career, you know? And just joking, look.
Right.
I'm actually, if you Google it, linked with it, because we were the first ones to, quote, break the news of what probably happened when we looked at the video, what was happening on the sideline, the reports, and then saw that he had an injured rib on the practice report on Friday, but the news went crazy when Adam Schefter said punctured lung, right?
Yeah.
So we actually reported that. But that's it's common to do rib blocks in the NFL.
Let's go to Joe Burrow, since you bring him up, and he is obviously the most, you know, the most significant injury currently in the NFL. And it's been sort of under this weird haze of cryptic comments, right? So Jamar Chase has generated discussion for calling, you know, he calls Burrow, he's calling for Burrow to sit out Cincinnati's opener to allow his right calf to fully heal. And then Zach Taylor just yesterday was asked the status of Joe Burrow, and he says, quote, "We'll see. I feel really good about Jake being the number two," referring to Jake Browning. So you see Joe Burrow's injury. We all saw the video. It was sort of from a distance. I have had two Achilles surgeries. So people ask me, by the way, specifically about Achilles. I'm like, "You think it's an Achilles?" And I was like, "It's too far. I can't tell." You knew it was a calf strain and not an Achilles, and you knew specifically the grade of calf strain, is what you're saying?
By video impression, not by diagnosis. Okay?
Okay.
And we've looked at this. I've spent, you know, a couple decades looking at stuff. And no, this is, look, Kevin Durant, I always said it looks like Achilles,
me
even
too,
though they were saying calf.
Me too, because it had the coil happen.
Yeah, and yeah, ultimately he tore his Achilles. This is not a Joe Burrow situation. It is not Achilles. However, calf strains can linger and can get aggravated easily. I think turn back, I don't know, a handful of years, Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, December calf strain, and then all playoffs did not run at all.
Do you think he'll play week one? Should he play week one?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think he will be able to play. Return to play is obviously a three-headed monster always. The player has to want to, and I think Joe Burrow's going to want to.
Sure.
Medical will need to let him, and I think medically he's available. If this were the Super Bowl, there'd be zero question. Now, management may say, because of risk of re-injury, we're going to hold you out. But I've said from day one that I believe that he would play week one in the NFL from the pocket, but not necessarily be as mobile. Not that he couldn't run, but he's going to be told, don't aggravate the calf by sprinting out or changing directions, et cetera. And I think he's going to play. But it's coach speak. That's what we do. We interpret coach speak.
Is medical, you refer to the medical team as medical, are they compromised in this? How does it usually work with NFL teams? Are they truly in a vacuum where they give their true Hippocratic oath, best medical opinion, or are they so compromised in all this that ultimately their say won't go very far?
Well, each team is different in terms of how much say the doctor or the athletic trainer has. And when I say medical, it's not always just the doctor, athletic trainer, physical therapist, who's ever in the building, et cetera. I never had a problem with it. That's the biggest fallacy. People are like, oh, you can't, how can you work for the team and the owner? How can you be good to the players? I look at it this way. If you work at a bank, your job is, any job, your job is to take care of the assets. You work at a bank, take care of the money. You work for a team, what are the assets? It's the players. Take care of them and be honest with your opinions. I never had any problem. The ownership and management never forced me to do anything. As a matter of fact, it was always players who drove me to, hey, let me go. I can do this. Shoot it up. Let's do X, Y, and Z.
I want to just, we only have a minute left here. Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commodes, toe injury, second preseason game. They obviously held him out since then. What do you think about that injury and how long could that affect him?
Our first initial in-game video impression was turf toe, and we think it's significant, at least grade two, by video. I think it's going to affect him, and this is why we've lowered his fantasy draft season six score. His week one six score is low. Look, when you have turf toe, even if you can play, it's hard to push off and accelerate and change directions. So even if he can play, if I were the Cardinals and defensively, I'd say, well, probably half his route tree is gone because he can't plant off that right foot and one cut go left.
And the only cure is rest?
Rest, the steel plate in the shoe, sometimes injection, but players don't like playing with a steel plate because it takes away their mobility. So if he plays, I don't see him being 100%. If he plays, if it's a normal prop, take the under.
It's not the answer I wanted, but fascinating. I appreciate you coming by. All that's very interesting, getting that perspective, which we don't normally get. David Chow, Dr. David Chow, again on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Lead the Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy.